Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone from all over the world. I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And, of course, I am coming to you live with just a little bit of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I just want to welcome all of my listeners from all over the world, and thank you for joining me today on the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Well, it's a beautiful day here in Atlanta, and I just want to wish everyone a happy Labor Day weekend. Are you enjoying your weekend? I pray that you are, and no matter who you are and where you are, that you are creating for yourself an abundant, beautiful, and peaceful day. Well, I have been enjoying my Labor Day weekend. I spent time with my family in Tennessee, and I really enjoyed them. And here I am back in Atlanta talking to you. You know, I just love all of the emails that I've been receiving from all of you. They are so encouraging. Thank you for all of the victories that you've had, how your life is really drastically changing because of the show. And remember that you can always email me with your comments at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, before I introduce my very special guest today, Ms. Kelly Stallings, who's going to be sharing with you about losing weight, how to use your mind and your thinking to shed those unwanted pounds, I want to share with you about a great women's summit that I will be participating in entitled The Next Wave Summit, Mastering the Fourth Dimension. Now, you might say, Constance, what in the world is the fourth dimension? Well, you know, the fourth dimension is the spirit realm. It's a free live day seminar featuring some of the best speakers in the world, and I'm one of those speakers. And so the summit begins this Tuesday, September the 8th, for 3 days, September 8th, 9th, and 10th, and you can attend for free. And so on Tuesday, September the 8th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I will be speaking on when you don't deal with your stuff deals with you. And most of you know that I have 25 years' experience as a licensed therapist, and I've coached and or trained over 100,000 clients. And on that Tuesday, I am going to be helping you to identify, delete, and transform yourself from self-defeating, sabotaging behavior. We all know what that is. And then teach you how to begin to walk in and become the powerful person that you were created to be. So for more information and a free pass or free access, go to www.thespirittrainer.com and sign up for free. Well, you can't go to my website because my website is currently being revamped. Right. So let me introduce my special guest today. Are you ready to lose weight? Are you ready to shed those unwanted pounds or improve your overall health? Well, today we have a great expert with us, Ms. Kelly Stallings. Kelly is the author of Life is Mental, Think Thin to Live Thin. It's an easy, effective 8-week program designed to help you think yourself into thinness. Doesn't that sound exciting? Kelly is a master level licensed professional counselor. She has more than 12 years of experience of working with people, and she teaches people how to create significant changes in their lives. So I want you to get your pen and pencil out, and I'm going to bring Kelly on. Kelly, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you doing today?
I am excellent. I'm in Texas, so I'm used to some really warm weather, but today we had a little bit of a break, so it almost felt like autumn. It's really nice.
Well, Shelly, you don't have a Texas accent, so.
I've been told that a lot. I'm not sure why. Maybe I just pick it up and let it drop. I'm not sure.
Well, but, you know, Kelly, yeah. I called you Shelly because that's the name of my chef. Maybe I have food on my mind, so I really need to talk to you. My chef's name is Shelly, and I called you Shelly, but you're Kelly. So let's get into your book. It's very interesting. So tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, Kelly.
Well, I like you said, I am a psychotherapist, and I've been one just over 14 years now, so I'm kind of moving right along. I started kind of the traditional psychotherapist type of practice, grew that practice quite large and did that for several years. Thought I was going to exit the field in 2005. The business aspect of the work just got really, really stressful, and, you know, the fun aspect of the work is really working with people and seeing change happen. And unfortunately, I didn't get to spend as much time doing that anymore after I, you know, had grown the business. And so this book is my way of reconnecting back, but really reconnecting in such a way that I'm doing just the part that I really love, the part that's really fun. And I decided to write to reach more people than I could in person.
Well, you know, Donald Trump says if you're not having fun, then you need to do something else. So let's get into your book. Life is Mental, Think Thin to Live Thin. Why did you write the book, and how did you come up with that great title?
Well, the great title actually has been a mantra throughout my adult life, the Life is Mental. That's actually my company name and my brand. And so Think Thin to Live Thin really tells the reader what specific subject that I'm focused on in this particular book. What I noticed through the years, regardless of what I was working on with folks to kind of help them work out in their life, weight was always somewhere in the picture for most folks. I would say 90% of the people. And whether it surfaced right away or, you know, a couple of weeks into to counseling. So, and, you know, because I'm a cognitive behavioral-based therapist, and that's really just kind of a fancy way of saying that my philosophy is changing the way you think and changing your behavioral habits, which changes your life. I believe that those are the core principles to really, you know, achieving the life that we want is really just making those basic changes. So I came up with the little kind of how-to. I'm really big on, you know, a how-to. Here's kind of an instruction book for this for life, basically. So I have all these little instruction sheets on, well, here's how we're going to deal with this, and here's how we're going to deal with that, and it was very effective. So when I, you know, thought, okay, I'm going to write my first book, weight loss is such a focus in really globally, but specifically in our country. And what I recognized was that the void in that industry is addressing the mental aspect of weight loss. Across the board, people will all agree that there's a strong mental component to weight loss, weight management, weight release, however, whatever you want to describe, basically the size that we all are, there's a mental component tied to that. However, I was really pressed to find anyone else that had any kind of how-to, you know, restructure your thinking and reprogram your habits and your behaviors, because that really is kind of the core of getting your thinking on track for healthy eating and healthy weight management. And so that's what I decided to write the first book on. I felt like it had the most appeal, and I could really impact a lot of people since I really saw that being a void in the industry.
Well, you know, you're so right, because the diet industry is a $1 billion industry, and just before we came on the air, I looked up some statistics, and two-thirds, that's 65% of all people who live in the U.S. or adults over 20 are overweight. 62% of those are women, and 71% are men, and now they're saying that 31% are obese, so people really need your book, Kelly. So since this show is the law of attraction, what you think, believe is what will manifest in your life, before we really get into your book, share with our listeners how the law of attraction and weight loss go together.
Well, I'll kind of share with you my personal definition of the law of attraction.
Okay.
I love the fact that the law of attraction, you know, that term was coined and that people really got that and really felt comfortable using that term and applying it in their life, because in my mind, what that has always meant is what you focus on in your life grows. So whether that's worry or fear or success, You know, if what you're focused on is one of those things, that's where you're going to go in life, because your brain is going to filter for what matches that deep-seated belief, basically, in your subconscious. So the law of attraction kind of makes this whole principle really easy for the general population to understand. It like, put it in such a way that we all get it. So that's really exciting to feel like, okay, so this is the way that we can apply this how-to, because now I'm going to teach you how to focus on what you want, not what you don't want.
Well, that's interesting, because most people, Kelly, when they want to lose weight, they're always talking about, oh, I'm so overweight, I'm so big, I'm just eating so much, et cetera, and they're never focusing in on being thin. And when I looked at your picture on the internet, I asked you, Kelly, what size are you? And share with our listeners how you think about your weight and how you have a certain number that you visualize in your mind, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I've always pretty much been about the same weight. And so for me, at some point, you know, I just believe that's just what I'm going to always be. So, you know, I might fluctuate a few pounds up or down, but it never really bothers me, because I believe that I'm always about this size, you know. And I will tell you, I mean, I'm 40, you know, so I've had some changes as I've gotten older. I have 3 kids. And I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism 13 years ago with the birth of my 2nd child. And I know that I still have hypothyroidism, because I've kind of tested that, because I read that you could, you know, that could be related to pregnancy and it could go away. Mine didn't. So I still have to this day hypothyroidism, and I manage it very effectively. And so when I tell people that, because people will have a tendency to look at me and say, oh, you're just naturally thin. You're just a small person. Well, you know, I don't buy any of those labels as far as, you know, that's the way that you distinguish yourself from each other. I do believe that I am a certain weight, and I'm comfortable in this weight. And any time that I've fluctuated out of this weight, I just focus more on being what I'm comfortable with. And so it might be that I identify a couple of times where maybe the stress has gotten really high in my life, and I've, you know, gotten off track because I'm just reacting to the stress and not being proactive. And so the minute that I recognize that, I make adjustments, and I'm right back where I normally kind of hang out at. And, you know, that really works not just for me but for everyone, because the opposite is just as true. I have several friends that will complain about their weight, but that's all they do is they're focused on what they're not happy with right now, and they're shocked when nothing seems to change. Because no matter what they're doing in their life, they're really sabotaging. Now, me from the outside of their life, I can see it quite easily. They don't see it. And because they're friends, they don't really like me pointing it out.
Of course not. None of my friends want me to do any counseling with them, Kelly, so I really understand. So really, Kelly, what you're saying is it's an inside job.
It is. That's right.
So let's take a look at your program, and I want you to share with our listeners how they can begin to think thin, to live thin. And I want you to share your effective 8-week program designed to help people think thin.
There's a strategy, really, to my whole book. You know, we've heard so many different numbers. I think generally everybody agrees it takes about 30 days to create a new habit. And I know I've heard some different studies about that that kind of reinforce the 30-day factor. We also know that as a whole, people, we're now used to instant gratification. The internet has really helped reinforce instant gratification in our lives, and so we want things quick. And we want them to be effortless. We want it to be easy. And so the way that I laid the book out is to span the course of 8 weeks, which gives you effectively 2 months. And I'm only teaching you 1 or 2 new things each week. The book is very easy to read. It's direct and short. I don't have a lot of fluff in there. I get right to the point. I use enough examples as well as medical literature so that you, when you're reading it, you really see the application and you can really see how these are sound principles beyond just me sharing. So you can read the whole book, but you have to go back and take just 1 chapter a week. That's what makes it easy, and that's the key. So you're only focused on that 1 or 2 little things just for that week. And then the next week, you can move on to the next chapter. Well, what you're doing is you are changing your thinking and your habits really daily, but I'm only giving you something new each week, which allows you to become proficient with those new skills during that first 7 days that you're focused on it before you move on to the next new skill. So at the end of 2 months, you have made these small changes weekly for now 60 days. So you effectively now have a new lifestyle without feeling like you've made a major change. You haven't deprived yourself. I absolutely do not support deprivation at all on any level. And so you should not feel deprived. In fact, your mood should feel overall better. You definitely will see weight loss, and more than likely your activity is going to increase as well. So even though I'm really addressing these mental changes, it's going to have these positive effects really in all these different aspects of your life.
So if a client comes to you, what would be the first thing that they would need to do in order to start thinking thin? Do you start with the inside first or with their food and exercise?
I really focus on the inside. And initially, when anyone comes to me for any kind of assistance, I spend a good deal of time setting expectations and helping people understand that to some extent they come in with self-imposed limitations. And once they can connect with that, it helps them to start identifying what those are so that they can release the self-limitations and move forward. I use a great example in the book that a lot of people connect with. It's from the movie Facing the Giants. And if you haven't seen this movie, it's fantastic. It's one of the best movies I've ever seen as far as the themes and you feel good. Well, there's a specific shot in the movie where the coach of this high school football team, he is trying to, you know, create this group cohesive team and get the kids on a, you know, positive mindset and believe they can do anything because they've been on a losing streak. So he's trying to change their mindset. So he asks the main guy on the team, he's the biggest guy, he's the senior, all the kids respect him and kind of follow his lead, and he knows he really needs to get him on board with this idea so the team will follow. So he asks the kid, you know, how far do you think you can go? I think it's a death crawl. I apologize for my football inadequacy, but I think it's a death crawl. It's kind of on your hands and your feet, but you're crawling down the football field from one end of the field to the other. And he said, well, probably about 50 yards. And he said, okay, well, what if Tommy's on your back and you're carrying Tommy on your back? How far do you think you can make? He's like, oh, I could probably only go about maybe 35 yards. And so the coach says, okay, I think you can go at least 50 with Tommy on your back. He takes a blindfold out, blindfolds the kid. Tommy, you know, kind of gets on the kid's back, and the kid starts crawling across the field. The camera pans in so that really all you can see is the coach really down there with this kid saying, come on, you can do it, you can do it. And the kid is, you know, he's tired and he's getting more tired. You see, he's just red-faced, and he keeps saying, I can, I'm tired. And the coach says, a little more, a few more paces, you can do it, you're almost there. And you see this for a few minutes, and the kid's just struggling. And finally, the kid can't take it anymore, and he just collapses, and he starts apologizing, and coach, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry, I went as far as I could, this is as far as I could make it. And the coach took his blindfold, and he'd gone the length of the football field.
Oh, amazing.
And so, you know, by this time, you see the kids on the sidelines, they're standing in there, and everybody's, you know, so silent, their jaws are dropped open because it's such a magical moment that this kid did twice as much as what he thought he could do without anyone on his back. So you look at that and say, okay, what am I limiting myself about, or, you know, how am I limiting myself in life that I'm not even aware? You know, if I take off or if I put the blindfold on, what could I do if I didn't have those expectations of the outcome?
Right. So what are some limiting beliefs basically about losing weight?
So here's some common ones. My family has a history of weight issues, so, you know, I'm just going to be a bigger person.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. I've always had a weight issue, and it's just gotten worse. But this is who I am. How about kids are a big one, too, especially, you know, when a female's had one child, but especially multiple children, that then becomes one of the things I hear a lot. Well, you know, I've had a couple of kids, and I just never got my body back, and this is, you know, this is how my body is going to be after childbirth. You know, things like that. You're making that choice. Yeah, your body changed after you had a child, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay at wherever you were right after the baby was born, or continue to add more weight after the child was born. I mean, you have a choice to do something different so that you can be fit and thin and healthy.
And so the first thing you do, Kelly, is deal with those limiting beliefs that we all have.
Correct. If I can help someone, that very first session, recognize that it's human nature to set limitations on ourselves, and then connect with that at a personal level so that they can start looking at, where am I doing that in my life? Where am I holding myself back as it relates to my weight? And it's interesting because just making that connection and having that buy-in in the very beginning allows you to uncover them through the process, because it's a challenge to really pick yourself apart quickly. But if you're open to it and you see it and you understand that that's human nature, you can change that. Now you can take control. And now you're looking for those opportunities to uncover and, you know, take away that limiting belief so that you're set free from it. And it's just a great feeling. You know, I have people that will uncover things through the entire program. And I'll even recommend, once you're finished with the program, the book itself has a journal built in. And so I always tell people, go through the weeks again. Do another 8 weeks in a couple of months. You know, refresh yourself, because now you're at a different point. You're a little bit more enlightened about yourself and maybe ideas about food and exercise. So the next time you read through it and you commit to the 8 weeks, you're going to learn something new and different that maybe didn't pop out at you the first time.
Well, good. You talk about commitment versus interest. Why is that important?
We all know that if we're interested in doing something, it may or may not happen. If I just think it's a good idea to, you know, take a few extra steps during the day or pop in an exercise video and I just think about how, yeah, that would be really good, it's probably in my health not going to happen. You need that commitment, and it goes beyond the desire. So you might want a change. You might desire the change. That's more of having an interest in the change. It needs to be so strong that you make the decision, and that's just the way it's going to be. You decide today that your life is going to be different, and you're not going to become a different person in 24 hours. That's where a lot of us stub our toe because, again, we're instant gratification-minded, and we expect that tomorrow is going to be just totally different. No, we're going to make a difference in our life this year. This is going to be a new year. This is going to be a different year. And every single day you're going to work toward that goal.
Well, you talk about, speaking of goals along those lines, you talk about setting realistic goals. Why is that important?
You know, I am a big thinker, and I totally believe in thinking bigger than what your mind can really accept at the moment. But when it comes to your weight, I know a lot of people, more women than men, that have completely unrealistic goals. You know, as a 40-year-old woman, I do not want to fit in the clothes that I wore as a senior in high school. That's just not realistic. That is not going to happen. But a lot of people will come to me and have that kind of mindset. The reality is you're a different person now. If you're female and you've had children, your body's changed a little bit. You know, embrace that, and let's focus on setting realistic goals about being the fittest, thinnest you. And so that's different for everybody. We're all different heights and sizes, and so we can't make comparisons about really any numeric value to say, you know, because a certain weight on my frame looks different than a certain weight, my same weight on somebody else's frame. So,
right. What about the impact of television on women, especially as far as what size we should be and weight issues?
You know, I actually look for examples on television. I don't really watch a lot of television, so I guess I should give you the disclaimer up front that I'm probably not the best one to ask about it, but I get it. I get how the media is slanted. And I don't really watch TV on purpose, actually, for these reasons, because I don't want somebody else programming my thinking and what I believe is norm. So I want to create my own norm. But for those folks, that are TV watchers, first you need to be empowered with knowledge to understand that TV's going for viewership, and unfortunately that's usually in some sort of really drastic slant. And so the people that you see on television, it's not real life. You know, I love different examples. I recently saw, I guess this was a couple of months ago, Kim Kardashian apparently is a pretty well-known name and celebrity, and she is more of a healthy-looking woman, and she's beautiful. And so she really puts the face on, this is a real woman. Well, there was a picture that she took for, I guess, a magazine shoot, and the original picture before it was airbrushed to look all, you know, have her skin look flawless. Somehow that got leaked out into the media, and it circulated through the web. And so I happened to see her comment on it because she was in a, I guess, I can't remember if it was a bathing suit or something. Somehow her legs were showing. And so, you know, just like the rest of us females in America, she had a little bit of the cellulite on the legs. You know, that's real women. That's just part of being a woman of real life. We have that. Unless you're just some total physical fitness, you know, committed to that. The rest of us that aren't 100% toned and fit, we have a little bit. And right. So her response.
That's why it's so important to get your own vision of how you want to look and how you want your body to look.
Exactly. I was totally impressed, though, that her response was that she is proud of the way she looks and she feels beautiful, and that she hopes other women see this and recognize that she feels beautiful and they should too, and that just because the magazine was going to airbrush it for the cover, you know, that's the media doing that, but she's totally comfortable with the picture as is. But, you know, I'd love to see more of that happen, but the reality is we're not quite there yet.
Okay, so share a little bit about positivity is thin thinking, teaching your mind to work for you. How do we do that, Kelly?
You're really going to reprogram your mind on a couple of levels. I can give you a couple of examples just to give you a flavor for the training. Just like I don't watch TV on a regular basis on purpose, I do put things in my life on purpose. So there are certain shows I will watch on purpose. There are certain books that I seek out on purpose. So I'm filling my mind on a regular basis with positive reinforcement for my goals. And so for everyone listening, if you've got some weight goals that you want to reinforce, you would do that the same way. And you're gonna use all of your senses for this. So you want to not only write your goals clearly and realistically so that you can see these and read these on a regular basis, your goals should be your motivation. So when you read these goals, you're reading them as if you've already achieved them, and you're letting yourself feel the emotion of how it's going to be that perfect size that you've put down as your goal clothing size. So as you continue to read these on a regular basis, you're putting it into your mind, you're programming your subconscious that this is really what you want. And it's with time that your subconscious absorbs that like a sponge and then starts filtering your life to support those beliefs. So essentially, you're programming your own beliefs by rereading these goals. And you can have these all over your house, you know, and I love having things on my mirror so that as I'm getting dressed in the morning, I'm reading that and I'm thinking that and I'm feeling those thoughts on a regular basis. I'm programming myself at every point I can. Another great way.
So you're really creating your own reality with your thoughts and your thinkings and your vision and just really your imagination. Is that true, Kelly?
Exactly. And let me give you a little science behind it. I won't get too deep, but I really like people to recognize that this is completely real and scientific studies back it up. So for the analytical thinkers that are listening, this really will help you anchor it in your mind. We have a part of our brain called the reticular activating system, and that is our filter. Essentially, we are bombarded with millions of pieces of information on our, you know, every minute of the day, every place that we go, and we need something to filter some of this content, some of these different stimulus in our lives so that basically we don't just feel totally overwhelmed with information. And so this reticular activating system does that. So it filters the things in our environment that match our subconscious belief. A good example of this that most people can always relate to is you're about to buy a car, and you pick this particular white Toyota and you just love this car, and you've never seen anybody really drive it. You don't think it's too popular, so you're going to stand out in the crowd because it's such a cool little car. You leave the lot, and on your way home, you count 20 other white Toyotas just like your car that you've never noticed before. Well, now that white Toyota is now in your subconscious. That's part of who you are. That's your focus right now. So you're going to see them everywhere because now your reticular activating system, as they see white Toyota on the road, recognizes, oh, that's in Kelly's subconscious. Bingo, look, Kelly, there it is. And so that's going to get through the filter, so to speak. So So the different things.
Thank you for that scientific background, because that always happens. You never really notice a car until you get a car. And so the way that you reprogram yourself is to really begin to see yourself with feeling, passion, images as to what you want your ideal weight to be. Is that correct?
Exactly. Exactly. So use the same principle, but now what we're programming for is your body image and your body weight. And so you're going to put into your brain what you want as your goal. So you're not going to think about what you don't want. You're going to think only about what you do want, so that as you start programming your brain, it's going to start filtering for all of the different things that support that. So you might find yourself suddenly craving healthier food. You know, you might find yourself suddenly feeling like you want to walk one evening. That all of a sudden that sounds like a good idea. Your neighbor invites you to go. She might have invited you for a month and you ignore her. All of a sudden when she invites you this evening, it sounds like a great idea and you're more motivated to go. You're going to be more attracted to the things in your life that support that goal.
And so if you are weighing 200 pounds and you want to weigh 150, all of your thinking and believing and visualizations and images will be around that 150, because that's what you want.
Exactly. Yeah.
So share a little bit about visualization. So would a person just sort of get in a real comfortable state or alpha state and just begin to see themselves a certain way, see themselves exercising? And give us an example or an illustration of how that would work.
Visualization, in my mind, is one of the most powerful tools, because your brain cannot determine vivid visualization from an actual event. And again, you can Google it for studies on that, but there are several different studies that have proven that our brain cannot determine the difference. So essentially, you're practicing this goal in your mind, and that's going to catapult you towards your goal, because as you continue practicing it, your brain is absorbing that as, okay, this is the reality. And so the best way to utilize visualization that I've found over the years is to incorporate into your life in a way that's easy. So again, you're not trying to take a special time for it. You're just gonna blend it into your day. If you take naps, or if you take naps, it's a great time to do it right before you're falling asleep for a nap. If you don't, then do it at least at night when you're falling asleep to go to bed. Get yourself completely comfortable. You're ready for bed. No television. You can have soft music, but no words in the music. And you want to lay down feeling completely supported by your bed. So nothing crossed. Everything's just, you know, completely supported by your bed. And you just start relaxing, utilizing deep breathing or whatever method that you want to start relaxing. And then go into a vivid visualization of you at your goal weight, doing the activity that you're going to be doing at your goal weight, wearing the clothes that you're going to be wearing. You might even notice that the size tag is sticking out and you can see it, you know, from the back of your shirt or your dress or your pants. You want to use all of your senses while you're vividly visualizing, because that's what really brings it to life for your brain. You want to imagine, if you're doing a certain activity, what are the smells that you're going to be smelling? You know, are you on a boat and you can smell the water? Are you on, you know, playing some sort of sport and you can smell fresh cut grass? You want to really utilize all of those senses. Imagine what everything feels like, the clothing that you're going to wear. Is it a, you know, nice silk suit? And you can imagine what that feels like. Really get it as detailed as you possibly can and stay in that visualization for a minimum of 5 minutes. If you can go longer the better, because again, this is what's programming your subconscious so that your reticular activating system can start filtering for all of the different cues daily to support this visualization.
So that's really great. It sounds very detailed and very vivid. And when you were sharing, I could see that person cutting grass or exercising and just really smelling the grass. So during the day, after you come out of that state of visualization, during the day, are you thinking thin thoughts all day long? And if so, how do you do that?
Yes. So, again, that's reprogramming. And in the beginning, if you're not a positive thinker, or if you're somebody that's really focused on all the negative, or you're focused on, you know, heavyweight, not being thin, you want to catch yourself every single time and you turn that around. And turn that thought around. in the very beginning, you might be doing this quite frequently, but you have to keep doing it so that you reprogram, you minimize those negative thoughts. So you're just modifying the way that you're thinking on a regular basis. Every time you catch yourself telling yourself something mean or ornery about your weight or your looks or what food you should or shouldn't eat, that you need to turn it around and focus on, I am the perfect me, I'm the perfect size, whatever that size is, I love my body, I feel beautiful, and it doesn't really matter. Don't get caught up on, well, it feels like I'm lying, or it feels like I'm saying something that's fake. That doesn't matter. What we're doing is programming your brain, because you weren't born believing you were fat. So that had to come from somebody programmed it, whether it was you or the media or family or whatever, and so now it's your job to reprogram it. So in the beginning, it probably is going to feel a little different or awkward. Move through it, because guess what? In a few days, you keep doing that, it's going to start feeling normal, and that is really where you've made your change.
That's so true, because we really create our world with our words, and words are so powerful. So affirmations are very important. Do you suggest that clients write down their affirmations and speak them out daily? What is your position on that?
I love affirmations, and I'm a corny kind of gal. I believe that if it's corny, it's going to stay in my mind more, and I believe that really works for pretty much everybody, not just me. And so when you start saying your affirmations to yourself, I always tell people, look in the mirror, so you're really talking to you, and it's going to make you giggle, you're going to feel good, it's going to feel a little awkward, maybe corny. Know that if that's what you're feeling, you're on the right track and keep going. Because, again, we didn't just start talking mean to ourselves. We weren't born with that, habit of doing it. We developed that. So we're gonna change that habit by developing a new one that's going to make us feel good.
Great. Well, speaking of food, talk about food and conscious eating. Why is that important?
Conscious eating is important because A, it's a natural way to cut calories and still feeling full. So you're going to feel totally satisfied. But even more important, it eliminates mindless eating. And mindless eating is eating when you're not really hungry. That it's eating out of boredom or emotion or, you know, just because everybody else is doing it. And so if what you start doing is really becoming completely aware of everything that you eat, and when you're eating, you're totally focused on your food, you're naturally going to eat less because your body is going to be able to register the full signal. And I'll take just a second to kind of give you the actual how-to on this for people, because it's such a portable, easy skill that's very effective very quickly. Essentially, everything you put in your mouth, you have to agree to yourself that you're going to sit down. So you have to sit down to eat anything, even gum, whatever you're putting in your mouth and chewing, you need to be sitting down. And you need to be totally focused on the act of chewing and the food that's in your mouth. So you can't be multitasking. You can't be watching TV or talking on the phone. It's just about the food. And as you're chewing, you commit to yourself that you're going to chew 15 to 20 times. And let me tell you, in our fast-paced society, that feels like forever when you first... but what that's doing is, A, you're breaking down your food well enough so that your digestion is better, so it's good for you in that regard. But as far as I'm concerned, the biggest part is it's giving your body enough time to register the full signal from your stomach to your brain. There's a significant time period lapse there, and if we're eating really fast, we've been able to stuff in 100, 200, sometimes 300 more calories before our brain, you know, says, okay, I'm done. That's why so many people leave a good restaurant and say, oh, I'm miserable. I ate too much. I'm so stuffed. Well, it's because you ate so fast, you didn't allow your brain to register that your stomach's full to stop. If you're eating slowly and taking 15 to chewing 15 to 20 times, I always tell people in the beginning, put your fork, your knife, your spoon, put it down and do not hold it while you're chewing. Because you're going to be tempted to reload that fork and kind of get going with the next spoonful, and you're probably going to chew faster. At least if I know you're putting your spoon and fork down, that's going to force you to slow down, just the act of putting down your utensils and then picking them back up. And that's between every single bite. You are naturally going to eat less than you're eating right now, by hundreds of calories typically, because your brain is going to have enough time to realize, oh, I'm full. Oh, my gosh. And I feel happy, and I'm full and satisfied. And look, half my food's still on my plate. that I normally would have eaten.
So how does a person deal with cravings? Okay, I'm sitting down and I'm eating and I'm chewing my food about 12 to 15 times, but I just had a craving for a piece of chocolate cake, Kelly. What should I do?
Okay, there's a couple of things. First, you want to identify where the craving came from, because if the craving is in your head and you're only imagine it's like you're, if you can taste it, if you, you know, oh, you know that feeling where you feel like, oh my gosh, I can just taste that chocolate cake now. That's not real hunger. That's just your brain deciding you want chocolate. If you're really hungry and chocolate cake sounds good, you're going to feel it in your body. You're going to feel it below your neck. Okay, so that's the first thing to kind of give yourself a cue. Where am I feeling this? Why do all of a sudden I want chocolate? Now, like I said before, I do not believe in deprivation at all. I eat whatever I want when I want to eat it, and I have my whole life. So I know this works. When you have that craving for chocolate, allow yourself to have some chocolate cake. But again, you've already eaten dinner or your regular meal or the good stuff. You've already put the good stuff in your body that you want in there. And so now it's dessert time. You want a little chocolate cake. Slice a small piece. And eat that cake and savor every single bite of that cake, just like you did the food, because every piece of that bite of that chocolate cake, you're going to still chew 15 times. You're going to just enjoy that cake like you've never enjoyed it before. What that's going to do is allow you to feel satisfied. So, and there's no guilt because you're eating, you're not going to eat as much as you normally would because of how slow you're eating, and you're going to feel full, and you're not going to want to stuff yourself, but you're going to feel satisfied because you had that little taste of chocolate cake. So you're not going to really crave the cake like you would if you were trying to avoid it. Because remember, it goes back to the reticular activating system. If I tell myself I can't have chocolate cake and I'm not going to eat that anymore, that makes me gain weight and have all these beliefs about it, no cake, no cake. Your reticular activating system is a literal function in our brain. So it doesn't recognize that that you're saying not eat cake. All it's recognizing is cake. And all it knows is that you keep having cake on your brain constantly. So you'll go for as long as your willpower can handle without eating any cake, maybe 3 days, maybe five. But boy, once you use up all your willpower and the cake is still in your brain, guess what? You're going to face plant into the cake when you see it.
Right.
So at that point, that's why people binge.
And so should a person's thinking be on fruits and vegetables instead of cake? Because are they only keeping their mind on what they want? It looks like I lost Kelly a little bit, and so I'm just going to go ahead and talk and remember that she was just talking about self-esteem and really emotional eating. And so keep your mind only on what you want. And so if you want to be a certain size, and she's back with me, then you keep your mind on that. This happens all the time. It's a part of radio. So, Kelly, you decided to leave me for a little bit.
It was the cake. The cake.
You were focusing in on the chocolate cake. I knew it. That is so funny. Well, let's talk a little bit about emotional eating.
Okay. You know, I really see that being very similar to what we've already talked about. When we allow ourselves to just go on autopilot, unless we've already reprogrammed ourselves to have all these good habits, the autopilot could be a bad thing if what's driving us are bad habits. And so if we're feeling emotional and, you know, we're trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do with this? I don't want to feel bad anymore. Well, chocolate cake always makes me feel happy. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to eat chocolate cake. You know, we might not be aware of how quickly that's running through our mind to then create a habit. So if you've done that once and you believe that the chocolate cake made you happy, when we all know that it did not make you happy, but if you believe that, then the next time you're in that emotional situation, you're going to have that knee-jerk reaction, and you're automatically going to tell yourself, oh, chocolate cake, I'm just going to get to the chocolate cake. And then over time, that just turns into a negative habit that now you feel guilty about the chocolate cake. So not only did you not get rid of the emotion that you started eating for, you've created more negative emotion.
Okay. Let's talk about some practical strategies for some of the challenges that we have, like eating out and how much food should we eat, control eating, treating yourself, smaller plates. Give our listeners some techniques that they can begin to utilize kind of book to really deal with, you know, some strategies or some challenges that they may have on an everyday basis?
The smaller plates, that's one of my favorites. So I really want to start there because I just think that that's again, one of those easy things to do. You will feel totally full. You won't feel at all deprived. It's, you know, you won't even recognize that you've cut down calories. Go back to a 9-inch plate. That's what we grew up on. That's my grandma used. You know, I have her old dishes, and comparing those to the new dishes that you can buy at the department store, it's shocking. We now eat on plates that used to be chargers. You know, those fancy plates you put onto your plate so that, you know, at the holidays they have like.
I remember that. Is that what we're eating on now, Kelly?
Yes. Yes. And so when you fill that plate up because you want, you know, to have enough food, and we're visual, so we see that there's a lot of, we need to fill up the plate. Well, you've just added 200 plus calories by going up to a 10-inch or a 12-inch plate from a 9-inch plate. And that, so the standard now, by the way, is a 12-inch plate.
Okay. Well, what do you think about all of the food that's supersized and our portions here in the U.S.? Because when I travel internationally, the portions aren't as large as they are in the U.S. So talk about portion control. How important is that, and how would a person implement that into their lives?
This is one of those things that if you have buddies doing this with you, it's so much more helpful, because my whole family, we all obviously are similar thinkers, so that when we go out to dinner, we go to our local restaurants, our waitress always thinks that either we're cheap with our kids or we're starving ourselves, because the majority of the entrees are now in serving dishes that they're using as bowls and plates. And so instead of buying one for everyone, we all know what we like. So we'll maybe get two entrees, and it feeds my family of five. Five. And most times we have a takeout box. And so obviously our table looks a little different because we always ask for extra plates. Now, when you ask for an extra plate, the majority of time they bring you a smaller size plate. They don't bring you that same big platter. So there you go. So we're out to dinner eating healthy portion sizes. So just ignore the people around you and just know that this is good for your body to do that.
Well, you talk about the kitchen being closed 2 hours before sleep. How important is that?
I think that's huge. And I know that there's kind of a debate on our metabolism and does it slow down. And some people feel real strongly that, you know, we don't metabolize things as well eating late at night. The reality is, whether or not that's scientifically the end-all fact, the reality is if it's late at night, more times than not, you're hungry, you're tired, you want to eat as quick as you can and go to bed, most people are going to grab something that isn't a good choice to eat so that they can run on to bed. So that's when people are doing a lot of drive-through, fast food, bad heat-up, high-calorie foods. You know, you're not going to broil fish and steam broccoli for yourself right before you go to bed when you're tired, you know. So for me, regardless of what you believe about your metabolism, you just aren't going to make a good choice, you know, 9 out of 10. So close the kitchen. 2 hours before you go to bed, you're done. It's over. Wash all the dishes so the kitchen is clean, and don't dirty it up again before you go to bed.
Well, you talk about a lot about taking 100% responsibility for your own weight instead of blaming your children. Well, I had all these children, or I just went through a divorce. Explain to our listeners, what do you mean by that, taking 100% responsibility for your weight?
If we don't take 100% responsibility for ourselves, we're never really going to be committed to make a change. Because if we're blaming someone else, whether it's our family or our schedule, or, you know, our genetic makeup, then we're not really taking responsibility. If there's any kind of blame, if we're pointing the finger at anything else, you know, outside of our life, we're not taking 100% responsibility for making our life what we really want it to be. And so if that's the case, then, you know, until you recognize that you have total control over your life, regardless of what your situation is in, you can give me any situation you possibly can, and you still have control at some level over your life, and definitely over your thinking, which in my opinion is really core for all of this. And so once you take that control, you can make whatever change you choose and live the life you want.
What about self-esteem and really feeling good about yourself and weight loss? How do you deal with the person who cognitively does not really love themselves and their self-defeating, sabotaging behavior has always stopped them from losing weight? So talk about the role of self-esteem and weight loss.
Well, if you recognize that your self-esteem is low and that you have a lot of negative self-talk, in other words, you're saying mean things to yourself and criticizing yourself, that's not motivating. That's not going to allow you to really maintain any kind of success if you're able to ever really achieve it. And that's where the reprogramming of your thinking is so important. So we would spend a lot more time on reprogramming your thoughts, whether it's affirmations, repeating your goals, and including affirmations within your goals, using the visualization and incorporating the affirmation into your visualization. So not only are you visualizing yourself at your goal, but you're visualizing total love for yourself as is, no matter what. And I think that's key because, you know, that can be a big obstacle for reaching and maintaining your goals if you're your own worst enemy. So it really does start there. You have to become your own best friend and your own positive coach.
That's so true. So it sounds like, Kelly, that if you go in and do the inner work, visualization, and just change your thinking and reprogram your subconscious mind or spirit, then everything else sort of changes on the outside.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you think about it, it has to. If you change your outlook and your attitude, you're naturally going to have a different response to the world around you. So things will be different.
That's so true. Well, we've talked about food and we've talked about our thinking and our believing and dealing with self-limiting, sabotage, and behavior, but we haven't talked about that wonderful word, exercise.
My favorite. I'll be transparent with everyone. That's not my favorite thing either. I don't have a huge interest in any kind of sport or any kind of certain activity that, you know, that might make it helpful to exercise daily. You know, so what I do is exactly what I teach everyone else to do. Start at a basic level and give yourself credit for the spontaneous exercise that you get every day. And if you are mobile in any way, you are exercising every day. So start by giving yourself credit for whatever walking around your house you're doing. Whatever movement that you're doing right now, give yourself credit for it. A great way of increasing that activity is by using a pedometer and just being aware. If you have opportunity, you are in an area, maybe you have a two-story home or you live on a second floor where you have the opportunity to go up and down stairs, that's great activity. Do an extra walk up and down the stairs, you know. Don't push yourself to be a different person in 24 hours. Just push yourself to do a little bit more every day. You're just building a little bit more every day, and when you keep track of that, you recognize that you started by only, you know, walking up the stairs maybe once. But now in 30 days later, boy, you're zipping up and down those stairs a couple of different times, not even out of breath. You can use a pedometer, which is what I recommend, because it tracks you. And I'm a big believer in tracking things. If you're not tracking things, then you really can't say for sure that you've made any kind of progress one way or another, because our brains are not exact track. You know, we're gonna filter that information, and for some of us we make it seem better, and for some of it we make it seem worse. So write it down, track. And so with a pedometer, you can track your steps every day and say to yourself, okay, I did, you know, 500 steps today. Tomorrow I'm going to add 50. Tomorrow I'm going to add 100. I'm going to get up to 1,000. You know, once you start recognizing that, oh my gosh, you know, it's the end of the day. I'm almost ready to go home. I'm only 20 steps away from my goal for today. Okay. Well, you're going to be motivated to walk around the campus of the office building you work, or, you know, find ways of adding steps into your day, parking far from the door so that you're not right up at the front. You have to walk all the way to the edge of the parking lot. Those little things allow you to increase daily activity, which increases your exercise and your energy. As your energy starts increasing and you see that you've had success with your pedometer, then you're going to naturally start looking for other outlets, because that's the neat thing about energy. It's going to grow. You know, now you're focused on it, it's going to grow in your life just like everything else. Okay. And so you might think about, Maybe there's always a class you've always wanted to take. Maybe you wanted to take martial arts or, you know, some sort of dancing class. It doesn't have to be a gym membership. You know, that kind of sometimes feels daunting to a lot of people. So make it fun and seek out ways of moving your body that are fun and will increase your energy so that you'll continue to do more.
Well, you know, Kelly, I can truly say just listening to you, I read your book prior to, and Think Thin, Living Thin is easy. I feel that the little niche that you have really discovered will really help our listeners because it makes it so much more easier because you're really doing the work on the inside and the work on the outside will almost seem effortless.
Yes. That's my goal. I hope that everyone feels the same way as they hear this and see that it's something that anybody can do this.
Well, you have been, can you believe we only have 4 minutes left, Kelly? We talked originally. I said, Kelly, do you you can talk for an hour. You like, girl, I can talk for a couple of hours. I see that. So share with our listeners how they can reach you, some of your coaching services that are available, how they can really get your book, phone numbers, email addresses, et cetera.
Okay. The book is available on my website, which is www.lifeismental.com. I created a companion CD. It's the guided visualization CD. So if you're new to visualization, you've never done that before, you can buy the CD, pop it into your CD player by your bedside table, and just let my voice guide through that visualization. I also have a goals journal, so for that tracking measure we talked about, that's a great way of tracking. It's got a lot of positive affirmations in that, and that's also available on my website. All of these products are also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Wow.
So you can, you know, whatever your favorite place to buy books is, it should be available there. My email address, I'm happy to take any kind of email queries. It's all of this information is on lifeismental.com. But my email address is kelly@lifeismental.com. And so feel free to shoot me an email and let me know what you think about the information. I'm happy to answer questions that anybody might have as well.
Kelly Stallings, I tell you, it's just been a pleasure having you on the show. You've given our listeners so much practical information. I appreciate you. I honor you. God bless you. And thank you for the great work that you are doing, changing people from the inside out.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been such a fun hour. I'm so grateful that you've honored me by having me on as a guest and sharing this information with your listeners.
Okay, thank you so much, Kelly. Well, I want everybody to go to Kelly's website, lifeismental.com, and make sure that you get her book because I have her book and her CD, and it has really helped me. Well, I just want to thank you so much for joining me again. This is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. If you have any questions or comments, you can always email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Share with me what your thoughts are. Share with me what your victories are. And I'm also asking you to share with me, give me some information about any topic that you might want me to cover, and I will make sure that I get those guests on the show. Additionally, I want to share with you, of course, all of you know that I am a law of attraction success coach, coaching that brings results. I got 25 years in the business, and so if you're feeling stuck and you want somebody to sort of help you deal with it and you feel like you would want to work with me, please email me once again at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, can you believe that the show is almost over and it's September? I tell you, we have 4 more months of the year. So that's why I want you to begin to take small baby steps. Any information that you heard from Kurt Kelly today, take something that really just hits your spirit and begin to take small baby steps toward change. And remember my saying that when you change your thinking and you change your believing, then you will begin to change what you manifest in your life. Remember, God loves you. Think in possibilities. All things are possible. And this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show, saying that I'll see you again this time next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. on the West Coast. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.
Show is not streaming, so that means I'm finished with the show. I can hang up now.